Imagine this, Elon Musk and Sam Altman facing off in court, arguing over who gets to steer the future of AI at OpenAI. It's like watching the Avengers of tech clash in real life.
Seriously, that's like Iron Man and Captain America all over again. Okay, I'm hooked.
Welcome to Hot Reload, everyone. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jamie. We've got a stacked episode today.
We'll dive into the brewing battle between Musk and Altman, China blocking Meta's big move in AI, and how ASML has become the key player in cutting-edge chips.
Plus, we'll talk about why your phone might not be entirely yours anymore. Trust us, it's worth sticking around for.
Let's dig into why your trusty smartphone might be less yours than it seems.
So starting September 2026, you might not really own your Android phone anymore. Google's planning a major change that affects every Android app out there.
Absolutely. Google announced that they'll require every app developer to register with them any app on any Android device, not just those on the Play Store. It's a massive shift.
Wait, so this isn't just about apps from the official store?
Right, this impacts all apps. Think of those shared between friends or downloaded from sites like F-Droid. Everyone will need to comply or be blocked.
That's huge, and it hits close to home for a lot of developers, right?
Definitely. It's being called an existential threat to grassroots developers. Thousands of free open source developers rely on being able to distribute outside of Google's ecosystem, and now that's in jeopardy.
Okay, I need some clarity here. How exactly does this change the playing field?
For starters, developers now need to provide government IDs and pay fees just to distribute apps. It's a real financial and privacy barrier for many.
And how do they justify this move?
Google says it's about enhancing security, but critics argue it's just granting Google more power over developers and, by extension, everyone's phones.
So Google's putting up big roadblocks all in the name of security.
That's what they're saying, but the FF labels it a tool for censorship rather than true security. The requirement doesn't stop malware from entering the system, it just makes developers easier to control.
What about the impact on sideloading? People always loved Android for its flexibility.
Funny you mention that. Google says users can still sideload unverified apps, but it's a 9-step process with a 24-hour wait period. It's meant to deter rather than enable.
9 steps and a day's wait to install an app that's putting sideloading on life support.
The real kicker here, Google can change these rules whenever they like without notifying users since it runs through their proprietary Play services.
And the thing that really stuck with me, the moment you buy a device, it's supposed to be yours. This completely undercuts that notion.
Exactly. Your purchase should equal ownership, but here it's controlled use. Once implemented, many fear Android becomes a walled garden like iOS, just under Google's terms.
So is anyone pushing back against these changes?
Yeah, there's significant opposition. Over 67 organizations from 21 countries signed an open letter demanding Google reconsider. But Google's reach is vast, and they haven't backed down.
What happens to alternative app stores like F-Droid?
They're in serious trouble. F-Droid called this change a potential death blow. They thrive on offering apps outside Google's controlled ecosystem, and this undermines that model.
This feels like a monopoly move, Apple vibes, but in disguise.
More or less. Google also faces antitrust scrutiny, but internally and externally, they're pushing in the opposite direction compared to Apple, which is being forced to open up more.
So Android's open platform legacy is at stake here.
And with that, the community that fueled its rich diversity, the concern isn't just about the apps, but the innovation these barriers might stifle.
I imagine plenty of developers would be frustrated by this power shift.
Absolutely. It's a significant concern, especially for those in regions where submitting such data could expose them to risks, politically or otherwise.
And on that note, as if controlling apps wasn't enough, let's switch gears. The world leader in lithography machines, ASML, is becoming a critical choke point for making advanced chips.
Let's talk about ASML, the Dutch company that's silently become a critical player in chip making. They're basically the gatekeepers for cutting-edge semiconductors right now.
Oh, really? How did ASML find themselves in such an important position, especially if they've been under the radar for so long?
It's their technology, particularly something called extreme ultraviolet lithography, that's key. They're the only company making machines that can etch the tiniest patterns onto chips, which is crucial for advanced semiconductors.
Wait, those are the chips that power everything from our smartphones to data centers. Right, just how tiny are these patterns exactly?
We're talking about features down to 3 nanometers, which is about 25,000 times thinner than a human hair. This precision decides how many transistors or microscopic switches can fit onto a chip.
That's incredibly precise. But doesn't anyone else make this kind of machinery?
Not at this level of complexity. ASML has basically cornered the market for what's called extreme ultraviolet lithography, or EUV. While companies like Nikon and Canon once competed, they've fallen behind as ASML pushed their R&D further.
So how did ASML pull ahead? There must be more to it than just having good technology.
Absolutely. Their journey was anything but typical. Initially, they were on the verge of collapse in the late 80s, but through strategic partnerships and some smart decisions, they transformed.
What kind of partnerships are we talking about?
They formed critical alliances, including a deal with the US government that helped them access intellectual property. Their modular design approach allowed them to work with numerous suppliers worldwide rather than doing everything themselves.
Interesting. So kind of like building something with Lego rather than making everything from scratch.
Exactly. They also invested in acquiring key businesses like their light source technology from Cymer, which helped perfect EUV.
And I suppose this led to their monopoly today.
Precisely. By the time competitors realized the potential of EUV, ASML had already secured crucial partnerships with giants like Intel and TSMC.
Clever strategy, but why is their machinery so unique?
It's insanely complex. Wait, did you know each machine has over 100,000 components and it takes 40 freight containers, 3 cargo planes and 20 trucks to ship just one?
Wow, that's a logistics puzzle on its own. Are they really worth all this trouble and expense?
Definitely. ASML's machines, priced at over $120 million each, are what allows companies to keep advancing chip technology and stay competitive in a market where every nanometer counts.
It's fascinating how this firm started with little recognition and now is vital to the tech giants. No wonder it's a geopolitical flashpoint between countries like the US and China.
Right, and speaking of geopolitical flashpoints, our next story explores how China's recent decision has troubled Meta's acquisition efforts. Stay tuned.
So, Alex, I heard about China's move to block Meta's acquisition of that AI company, Manus. What's really happening here?
It's quite a twist. China has officially asked Meta to unwind its $2 billion purchase of Manus, citing national security concerns. This is another chapter in the ongoing US-China tech rivalry, particularly in AI development.
Wow, that's intense. Why is the acquisition of Manus specifically causing such waves right now?
Well, Manus was founded by Chinese entrepreneurs and they've been making waves with their general AI agent, which caught the attention of Meta. Given global AI tensions, it's really a hot button issue.
Got it. So where does China's objection come into play here?
China began scrutinizing the deal back in January 2026, not long after the acquisition was announced in December 2025. The concern national security, they even restricted the Manus founders from leaving China during the investigation.
Seriously, they couldn't leave? That's pretty intense. But why exactly is Manus so important?
Manus developed a general AI agent. Essentially, it helps users handle tasks like searching for real estate or booking travel. And here's the kicker. This AI isn't just one agent. It uses multiple agents to plan, execute, and verify tasks, leveraging Anthropic's Claude 3.7 Sonnet model.
Multiple agents? That sounds complex. What does that involve?
In practical terms, it's a sophisticated system where different agents work in tandem. You have a planner agent assigning tasks and an executor agent handling things like browsing websites or even coding apps. It's like a well-oiled machine in digital form.
Oh, that's pretty advanced. So why was Meta so eager to jump in on this?
Great question. Meta, under Zuckerberg's leadership, is pushing for personal AI superintelligence for everyone since 2025. They saw Manus as a way to beef up AI functionality in their platforms, like Ads Manager.
Makes sense. But what about Manus and its founders? How have they reacted to China's decision?
They've already moved most of their team to Singapore, creating a new entity, Butterfly Effect PTE, to distance from China. Yet China's decision forces them to rethink everything. They might lose access to the very AI models that power their services.
That's rough. So what does this mean for Meta's AI goals then?
It's a setback, no doubt. Meta's tried to pivot from its metaverse losses, $80 billion spent over 5 years, by focusing on AI. And this is the stat that blew my mind. They'd integrated Manus deeply with their own teams in Singapore.
Whoa, $80 billion. That's massive. So what happens next for other Chinese tech founders?
The path looks challenging. This situation suggests that Chinese tech founders wanting to enter the US scene might need to think globally from the get-go, maybe even avoiding any Chinese affiliations entirely.
So the usual Singapore washing isn't working sounds like a tough road ahead.
Exactly. It's a cautionary tale in these turbulent times between the US and China. But speaking of turbulence, up next we've got live updates from Elon Musk and Sam Altman's courtroom face-off over OpenAI's future. Don't go anywhere.
So Elon Musk and Sam Altman are duking it out in court over OpenAI. This sounds like a blockbuster drama.
Absolutely, Jamie. It's a trial that could significantly impact the future of AI development. Musk accuses OpenAI of straying from its mission to benefit humanity and instead focusing on profits.
Wow, that's big. But how did it even get to this point where they're battling it out in court?
Well, the whole mess started back in 2024 when Musk filed the lawsuit. He claims OpenAI, which he co-founded, tricked him and shifted gears towards profit maximization, leaving their altruistic roots behind.
Got it. So what's Musk trying to achieve through this lawsuit?
Musk wants Sam Altman and Greg Brockman removed. Plus, he's demanding that OpenAI stop operating as a public benefit corporation. Musk seeking up to $150 billion in damages if he wins the case.
Wait, $150 billion? That's enormous.
That's the shocking part. Musk says it's about holding on to the original mission. But OpenAI calls this lawsuit a baseless attempt to mess with a rival.
Makes sense. So how's the trial shaping up?
Musk took the stand as the first witness and gave a lengthy account of his involvement with OpenAI. He's painting himself as a savior for AI ethics, even saying he alerted past leaders like Obama to AI's dangers.
And what about Sam Altman? How has he responded to all of this?
Altman, who didn't stick around post-opening arguments, has kept relatively quiet, likely letting the official response from OpenAI speak for itself. They're framing this as Musk trying to derail them for competitive advantage.
I mean, both sides are probably going all out. Did Musk say anything about founding OpenAI and why?
Yes, Musk mentioned how OpenAI was born from concerns about AI safety. He felt Google wasn't taking the risks seriously enough, prompting him to create a counterpoint to Google's AI efforts.
Interesting. So are there any juicy details from Musk's testimony?
Among other things, Musk reminisced about advising against OpenAI exploring options like issuing its own cryptocurrency, labeling it as a scammy idea. He was pretty clear about his original vision for a non-profit dedicated to open sourcing AI.
It's intriguing how those original discussions about funding might have planted seeds for the current conflict.
Definitely, Musk revisited those early brainstorming sessions, even when talking about OpenAI's equity split. He felt it was unfair since he was providing almost all the initial capital.
And how did his efforts with Nvidia come into play?
Musk brought up efforts to secure AI hardware from Nvidia, showing off an email exchange with its CEO, Jensen Huang. It was part of making sure OpenAI had the best tools at its disposal back then.
So it's a classic case of if you want something done right.
Exactly. Musk emphasized his role in shaping OpenAI, recruiting crucial people, and finally, he insisted that Altman had initially shared his vision of AI safety.
Fascinating. What are the core stakes here, then?
At its heart, it's about control and direction of OpenAI. Musk says preserving OpenAI's charitable roots is essential, while OpenAI argues Musk's lawsuit is self-serving.
It's like a Shakespearean drama, but with algorithms and courtrooms. Which part's next in this saga?
Okay, I have to say, the ASML choke point situation feels like a real-life James Bond subplot. I mean, how did one Dutch company become so crucial out of nowhere?
Right, for me, it's the Elon and Sam courtroom drama. It's got everything. Tech titans, court battles, and AI ethics. Hollywood, take notes.
True. And let's not forget about Google's bold move with Android. It's scary how fast control can shift.
Absolutely. And China's move against Meta, it's a new chess game in the tech Cold War.
Today we covered quite a lineup. Google's plan to take ownership of Android apps and ASML's huge role in chip making.
Yep, then we discussed China's decision to block Meta's purchase of Manus and the courtroom drama between Elon Musk and Sam Altman.
Thanks for tuning in to Hot Reload. Make sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share with your tech-loving friends.
We love having you with us. Talk to you next time.